All right, amen. Everybody ready tonight? All right, good. I know we're going to miss Sarge tonight, so it's probably going to be a fast class without all of his 27 questions. I'm kind of worried, though. He may call him in. If your guys' phones ring, don't answer it, please, okay? All right. Are we on, Sarah? Are you recording? Oh, and I've been talking about Sarge. I love you, Sarge. Amen. It's good to see everybody here tonight. We're going to get started here. Give the microphone to Candace, if you would, please. Candace, you're going to open us up tonight.
No more. I was.
You get over that fast around here, right?
Not anymore. I'm not an English major.
Not no more.
Anyway, thank you, God,
thank you, Lord,
for allowing us to have this church to come together and
just
providing this building for us, Lord God, and be able to come here and just worship you and hear about your word. And we pray, Lord God, that the word that Sharon and Bob give us today, that we'll just have an open heart to it and be able to accept it, Lord, and be able to live actively by it.
Yes.
And we just thank you, God, so much for everyone who is able to make it here, people who are still on their way. And I pray that the message even reaches those who are not able to make it. We give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Let me start off with a question. What we're talking about is what, of course, evangelism. Personal evangelism. And evangelism should be personal, right? Because it's persons that do the evangelizing. And every person here is an evangelist, right? But is this something that we is evangelism something that we have to do, or is it something that we should do? Half and half? Well, you have to. Okay, I thought you said half and half. Okay. Does everybody agree with them, or anybody disagree? You agree? You're an agreeable bunch. I like that. Well, let's see if that's true. See, when we want to find something out, what do? All right. To answer that question, let's start off with a verse. Everybody's heard of the Great Commission, right, in Matthew? Well, let's take a look at it. Go ahead and read that one, please, hon.
Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age."
Amen. What's that telling us? Whole lot of stuff, and we're going to talk about a whole lot of stuff tonight. There's a whole lot of stuff in those few verses. Was that four verses? But without a doubt, God is telling us, he said, therefore, go. Right? There's no unless, ands, or. Did he say go out unless you're too shy to talk to people? Did he say therefore go unless you're tired and have worked all day? Did he say therefore go unless you don't have time? Unless there's something more urgent than salvation? Or that you don't know how, or sometimes it comes down to just we don't want to, right? But that's not what the word says, does it? Therefore, go. No ifs, ands, or buts. Therefore, go. Go and do what? Whatever he tells you to do. Don't get too hard now. And what does he tell us? That's exactly my next point. What does he tell us to do? If you would read this Matthew 18:19. That we just read. Pull that one out.
Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
What are we to do? It says make disciples. Make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is really, in the simplest and easiest terms to understand, as a follower. Mm-hmm. Right? So make a follower of me, he's saying. We can't do that unless we're followers, right? In Mark, it spells it out just a little bit different. In Mark 16:15, he said, "But he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures." He's calling us creatures. Oh, creation. Oh. It says, go out into all the world and preach. What does that mean? Simply to tell and show the world Jesus Christ. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? The Muslims aren't going to do it. The heathens aren't going to do it. Those dead dogs aren't going to do it. Who's going to do it if we don't? Nobody. That's who Jesus asked to go do it. Us. Right? Well, I changed that. He didn't ask us. He told us. Pastor Mike.
Yeah, you know, you started the night off asking the two questions, which one, and the same thing is there, was we see the two accounts, one in Mark and one in, and they both go together. You know, first is the preaching, but then there's a process, the discipling, which I think in the modern church, we've jettisoned that. We don't want to take the time to sit down and educate or, you know, be those students and go and learn. And you see, hey, people are satisfied with attending church on a Sunday and sitting through a message, but when it really comes to getting into the Word or getting into the study of the Word itself, that's where it lacks. And we should really be looking for that, taking, you know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, the things you heard from me in the presence of many reliable witnesses, trust to reliable men who will be able to teach others also.
Yep.
So they don't just catch it. It's got to be taught.
Yep.
And that is where even Christian universities today have abdicated that role and have brought in worldly thinking, and we've jettisoned the scriptures because that's kind of, you know, relegated towards another realm. So
absolutely.
I like that. We focus on the preaching part, which is good, and that's where it's got to start. But there's also the teaching, getting the disciples and,
yes,
and training them and taking them under your wing, just like, you know, Coach would.
And that's what we're going to try and talk about tonight. We're going to cover that part too. But Pastor Don, as usual, is in way ahead of me. You know, sometimes it scares me. We think alike, and I know that scares the heck out of him. Amen? All right. What we're supposed to do is make disciples, and like Pastor Don says, in those days a disciple was somebody, you lived with the teacher. You know, you might not have to do with that today, do we? Yes, we do. We live with Jesus daily, hourly. He's in us, right? We're constantly living with him, and through the Holy Spirit, we're constantly being led and taught. So what we're to do is make disciples and to preach, to tell the word. Now let me ask you one more question. Out of that Great Commission, does it say where we're supposed to go? Melvindale, Allen Park, maybe way off to, what's that, Wyandotte way out there? Where are we supposed to go? I heard that in the back. Read that one, hon, please.
Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Read the next one, too.
That was Acts 8:4.
Thank you.
1 Thessalonians 1:8. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia, but Arcadia?
Close enough.
Arcadia?
Close enough.
Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, you do not need to say anything about it.
There is our answer. Where do we go? Wherever they went. And when we disperse from here tonight, everybody is going in a different direction, aren't we? That's where the gospel is to be preached. Everywhere. Mexico, Latin America. What was that we discussed? Huh?
You're going to Mexico?
No, I said they are. In Acts 1:8, it gives us a pretty good diagram of where to go. Start at home and work your way out. To where? Well, there's no end. We're supposed to preach the gospel known everywhere. In Thessalonians, it says, till it's known everywhere. That's when our job is done. You know when our job is done? When everyone is saved. Is everyone saved? All right, then nobody punches out. It's not time to quit and go home yet, is it? No. One more question that we can pull out of the Great Commission. We said what, where, now what's the other one? Who? Who are we supposed to preach to? Let's check this one out too. Read Colossians, huh? please. We're just laying a groundwork here first, then we'll get into the nitty, dirty gritty.
If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you've heard and that that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Did you read the one under it? Just go ahead and read that one too, please.
Romans?
Yes, ma'am, Romans. Tell them what it is first.
Romans 10, 17 through 18. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Ah. There's our answer for who? To every creature under heaven. Everything. Everyone. There's no one that we're not supposed to share the gospel with, right? That's our job. The Holy Spirit will sort them out, like they told us in the Marine Corps. Kill everybody, God will sort them out later, right? That's not your job. Our job as Christians are to give them the word. What they do with that word is up to them and the Holy Spirit, right? That's not our job. Our job is to make sure that they hear the word and see it living out in us. The final result is not ours. Pastor John just said that a minute ago when we were praying. We plant, we dig the hole, we plant, we hoe, but we don't make anything grow, do we? Only God makes things grow. So he's got the hard part. We have the easy part. And in Thessalonians, it says, until the word is known everywhere. To go everywhere is where we go. There is no place that we should not set our foot and proclaim the gospel, period. Right? Where did Jesus go? To those that needed it. To the sinners. To the bars. To the places that are filled with the unsaved, like factories, offices, schools, you know? Tax collectors, maybe even lawyers, anything. Anyone that is not saved needs to hear the gospel. So we're supposed to take it everywhere, right? To everyone. So you agree with me, without a doubt, he wants us to do this, right? It's not an option. Secondly, Acts 1:8, I mentioned it earlier, says the Holy Spirit will be poured out for what? To make us witnesses. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to make us witnesses, to give us the power to witness. So God says that we are to go out, and he gives us the power to do it. Now, somebody give me an excuse that God is going to buy why we didn't do it. I'm open. I'm not God. I'm a little, you know, lay an excuse on me. If you can't give me one, how are we going to give him one? We can't. We have everything we need. God knows we're all different. Some of us have different giftings, different abilities, and we're going to talk about that probably next week. But everybody has the ability through the Holy Spirit to be a witness. And what does a witness do? I got to go out and get people saved. Remember, that's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's job. Our job is to be a witness, both with our mouth and with our life, both. What does a witness do in a court trial? Makes decisions? Tells people what to do? A witness does what? Pastor, you're our police officer. What does a witness do? That's exactly it. Hold on.
Testify to what you see, but in the case of Ferguson, you make it up as you go.
A witness is someone that can stand. I can stand up there all day and tell what a great life Sammy has, what God has done in his life. But it's not going to have the same passion or the same impact that he's standing in front of him, because you can't deny it, right? A changed life standing right in front of you. A lot of us in here should be dead, right? A lot of us, but we're here is by the grace of God, and we can give that story. Like Pastor John, we kid all the time now that we got one more little tool in our belt that we can use, cancer. There's a lot of people, well, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Same way, it's a lot easier for me to pray and talk to somebody that's been in the military because they'll tell you, you don't understand what I went through. Yes, I do. People accept that. So everything that we do has never been wasted. Even the parts that we wasted, we can use as a tool to tell somebody, well, you don't know how it is to be a drunk. Or what's that word they use now? You don't know how to be what it is to be an alcoholic. No, I don't. I was a cheap drunk. I was a mean, ornery drunk. I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't have a disease. I was a doggone drunk. But yes, thank you, hon. But yes, I understand. That's right, she is. I can't argue. She was a witness to it, yes. Yes. So the groundwork is laid here, right? Let me ask you another question. Is there anything else he gives us that we can use besides the Holy Spirit? Pastor Don hit it just a minute ago. He also gave us the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, but he also gave us the written Word. That has a power all unto itself, right? Just throw that Word out there. Use the Scriptures. You don't have to explain them. When Jesus was talking to Satan, did he explain the Scriptures? He just laid them out there. Does it not say? They have a power all their own. So many times I've used the analogy of a gun. If somebody's breaking into your house, you pull out your gun, what are you going to do? Excuse me. There's bullets in here. They're actually solid steel, and they have gunpowder behind them. And when this hammer compresses back with a spring, goes forward and hits at force, there's an explosion. No, you don't explain that to the burglar. You stick it in his face and say, I'm going to shoot you if you don't get out of here. It has its own power. And the Word is the same way. We don't have to explain God's Word half the time, but yet we love to do that, don't we? We'll throw a Word out and spend 20 minutes explaining it. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. What's the Word say? That sometimes we don't know what to say, but he will bring it back to our remembrance. Could I ask you something? Can you remember something you don't know? Well, God isn't going to give you the Word, is he? I hear so many people say, well, God, the Holy Spirit will give me the words. That is not what it says, is it? He'll bring it to our remembrance. He expects us to do a little something. You can't remember something that you've never read. A lot of times, after this teaching, I won't remember it, period. But if you give me two or three key words, 5 or 6 years from now, I can probably stand up and do it again because I remember it, because it come from me, right? That's the same way. All right. Never neglect the Word. That is the most, we need our salvation and to spread the gospel, of course. You can't spread what you don't have. We need the Holy Spirit and we have God's Word, the sword, remember, to go out there with. Always carry a Bible with you. It doesn't have to be a big thing. You don't have to take it everywhere, but usually have one available. They make those little bitty things. Sometimes carrying a Bible scares people. So if nothing else, you can at least remember a few key verses. Now, Pastor Don's remembered the whole Bible, but I can remember a few key verses, enough to get me by, right? You know those little bitty Bibles they give you? I have several of them. They have the New Testament. They have Psalms and Proverbs in them, and I love that thing. That's practically all you need to talk to a new Christian or somebody you want to spread the Word to. Yes. Hold on, Pastor.
With the your phones and with the iPads, you know, that everybody carries nowadays,
mm-hmm.
And you can imagine, you know, and I think everybody's got a Bible app on there. If you don't, you can Google something real quick. It's amazing.
Yep.
You know, so you even see a lot of people now in church, they're just following along in the, you know, on their phone or their little,
yep,
their little pad there. But just thinking about 5 years, what you saw those Google glasses that they had, you know, you'll just,
yep,
be able to, you know, think a scripture or think a word or two, and boom, you're going to have this thing pop up and, you know, you can access it. It's going to be incredible. I mean, what an incredible gift that the world has received.
That's
but
right.
To use it for good by using it in his Word.
It's a great gift to be able to access that much information just at a heartbeat. But sometimes, like anything else, it could be a curse and a blessing almost. The curse is that sometimes you get something that fast, it doesn't stick. The old days when we had to pull out a book, pull out a dictionary, I've had 8 or 9 laying around. I still use them. I use my computer, but I still have several dictionaries and things like that that I pull out and use, right? Encyclopedias. Bible, customs, and manners, I have a lot of books that I still rely on. It's just something about the fact that you have to look it up. You have to put a little effort into it. It's in there. Pastor Don has often said that nobody gets anything more out of a class than the person that teaches it, because they're the one that did the most work. Amen? We got a lot of teachers sitting in here. I know that each one of you know that that's the truth. All right. So we talked about the word. Read that, honey. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Please.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Thank you. Because what? The gospel is the power of God. For the gospel, the righteous God is revealed. The written word, to know the written word is to know God, right? We read a novel or something, it tells us something about the person that wrote it, doesn't it? We read the novel Frankenstein, we know that Mary Shelley was probably afraid of the dark. Some of the ones that wrote these vampires, you know, but we know that from reading the Bible that God loves us. We understand God's heart for his people, right? Not just us, but those that haven't been saved yet. And that's the same heart that we have to get for those that are lost. It said that Jesus at night would leave. He didn't get much sleep, you know. He was kind of on call all the time. Worse than a pastor's job, right, to be Jesus. He would stop at night while the rest of the disciples were sleeping. He says he would go up in the hills. Jerusalem was surrounded by hills. And he would look down on the city and cry. Why? Because he knew not all would be saved. The sacrifice that he was going to be making was for all, but all were not going to accept it. And that hurt. Does that hurt us? When we see people walking down the street, do we think, are they saved? What can we do? Here I am, God, use me. You know, he might embarrass you. I'm sure he was embarrassed hanging naked on a cross, wasn't he? He's not asking us to do that, but yet we can't go up and speak to somebody. It's not hard. If we really, you have to have a heart for people. You have to really love them. Not the sin they're in, not the person you see there, but the person that could be there, the person that God made them to be. Because most of us, when we walked in here, were not real pretty, were we? We were ugly, we were dirty, we were actually against God, right? I'm not the kind of person I'd like to have talked to. Not that I like to talk to myself now, but I do. So we agree, without a doubt, that this is something that we're supposed to do, right? All right, now this is going to be a class, like I promised everybody, that's something more on a personal level. What was the word I used? Non-evasive Christianity, non-evasive evangelism. We're called in Acts 1:8 to go out to Mexico, to go out in the neighborhoods, to go out and do this. But there's some that stayed in Jerusalem. There's always work to be done everywhere. As the gospel went out, that means that they didn't desert Jerusalem, did they? No, the word was still preached there. Those of you that are the most shy, most timid, most unassuming can still be the most effective. All right. Now, how can that be? Somebody ask me, how can that be? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. All right, let's get into the meat now. Let me ask you another question. Where do you think most people get saved at? Would it be work? School, at home, grocery store, mall? What about an evangelistic outreach or an evangelistic type meeting? Where do you think that most people get saved at? Most people that are saved, where were they saved at? Sammy, don't look off. Never look off. I'm just the opposite. You lose eye contact with me, you're in trouble, okay?
I had a bunch of different things. I'd probably say the mosque, you know.
The mosque.
Yeah.
Take the microphone from him.
No, I'm kidding. We'll let him in here. I mean, for me, most of the people I know got saved in the church. They didn't want.
Oh, say no more. Take the microphone. You have just shown your wisdom. Come here, hon. Oh, was there somebody had a question? A comment? Oh, Kim in the back. I'm sorry. That's what you get for being all the way in the back and so short, Kim. I can't see you. Jump up. Holler.
Hey, Bob.
Okay, give it to Kim.
Bob.
Yes.
If someone is really seeking God and seeking for the truth, he can even get saved in a mosque.
Oh, yes. You heard that, Sammy.
I was going to say a hospital or a prison, so I'm not the wisest one. But
No, I could not touch everywhere, but yes, a lot of people have got saved in hospitals and in prison. You're absolutely right. A lot of people, but not the most. Most people, let me ask you a question. Sammy was absolutely right. Most people are saved inside of at a church service, a Sunday, or we were just talking about the Seventh-day Adventist, Saturday, whatever your church service was or is, and an actual church service is where most people get saved. Now, let me ask you another question. What percentage do you think were saved inside of a church during a church service? What we're talking about here is not the world. We're talking about the United States. All right, so I don't know about the Muslim world in the mosque, okay? So 78%. Anybody else? 82%. Anybody else? Give that man there a cigar. Actually, 65%.
Hey, I said 70, right?
All right, so we know that most people are saved. 65% of people that are saved and give their heart to the Lord do it in a church service, a Sunday morning church service. Prisons, everywhere else, like you were talking about, absolutely, there's a percentage there. But 65%, those are good odds, right? Now, if we know 65% of people get saved in a church, a Sunday church service, what do you think we should do with that fact? Bring them to church. Oh, you're a smart bunch. I like that. That is our best odds, right? Get them in church. If most people get saved in church, we should try and bring them to church, correct? Common sense. All right. So we know that our first course of action is to get people into a church, get them to church service. How do we do this? I'm going to go with another question. How do we do this? One good way might be to find out what brings people, why most people are in a church, why they come to a church, what brought them there to begin with. Again, we had a survey out there. Since we know that most people get saved in a church service, we try and bring them to church. So what brings people into church? Let me ask you a question, a couple questions. A lot of people have, there were some questionnaires thrown out in the same way. This is in evangelical churches in the United States, and that's what we're in and where we're at. So I think this is what we should take a look at. What percentage do you think come to church because they had a need? A real problem in their life, going through a divorce, a death, struggling with something like alcoholism, 72%, 85%, probably low. Throw me a number, girl. 40. Anybody else want to try? What was that? 25. What was that? 3%. Hold up the sign. 1%. How many people come to this church because of a need? No. It's not a trick question. What brought you to this church the first time? You had a need. She's right. They did in their family and in their lives. There was other circumstances too, but yeah. That is not one person sitting here. If we went through the whole congregation of 200 or 300, it'd probably come down to that 1%. Right? What did I say? 3%. Yes. 3%. It's not many. No, that's a good question, and we're going to get to that. That's what we're leading to. Yes?
Just got you on speaker.
Yeah, Roger's listening. What percentage do you think of people that just walked in? Just walked in? 15. 10%. 5%. 20%. 3%. Hold that one up. 1%. How many people didn't have a need just walked into this church? Okay. That's for another teaching, Pastor. What percentage do you think, if we asked a question, that I was out looking for a church? What percentage of people do you think that is? They come to this church because they were out looking, actively looking for a church. You would probably hit there more than anything, I think, even though some have more reasons than one, but that was the main reason you were actually out looking for a church, right? 5%. 10. Okay. 75. You are generous. 3%. Sharon. Hold it up there. 6%. 6% is it. Like I said, how many just walked in? I think there was, again, one hand that went up. Right? I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong one. You're right. Looking for a church, I meant. I'm sorry. Yes. You guys were. You come with a group that was looking around and stuff like that. Did you ever find it? Okay. So a percentage of each one of these can still be brought in. She was looking for a church. You were looking for a church. You had a need as well. So those are things that are out there that are always going to bring people in. But we'd be surprised at what a low amount it really is when we just take a survey of that. How about, I came first to a home meeting or a Bible study through that. Someone invited me to a home meeting or a Bible study. I come to that and have been coming to church ever since. How many people here did that? One. I do remember that. With the great home meetings we have, the great Bible studies, excellent teachers like myself, how can that be? Maybe I'm not that good. Yeah. If nothing else, I got one, right? What was the first, what meeting was it that you come to, Felicia? Oh, okay. Well, actually, that's going to be in a different category, but we'll accept that one. We'll accept that one. How many percentage do you think that was? Don't even throw out numbers. Show them, hon. Only 4%. We would have never thought of that. You would think that with the great homing, as great home group leaders, we have a lot more people to be channeled through there, doesn't it? And it's not just this church. I'm talking the entire United States evangelical churches. I'm not saying these are going to waste by any means. What we're looking at is just pure and simple facts. Most of the things that we think of that are meant to bring people in are really meant to edify and build up the church once we get people in. That's what a home meeting is. One of the great things they do, they keep us tied together. But we'll get to that in a minute. How many people do you think come here because of a children's church, vacation Bible study, or the outreach to high school or something like that? One. All right. So you're just greedy. You wanted to be in both of them. You thought Beth could be in two. You're going to be in two. Okay. Why are the rest of you people here? We've only got two people raise their hands, and I'm done. Let me ask you a question. What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. Go with the percentage. Forgive me. 3% is all that come through that. So you're a real minority. The very smart lady there in the back, the vast majority of people sitting here are probably here because a friend, a relative, or someone invited you out. How many people here fall in that category? There you go. That's how I got here. Is that how you got here? 79%. Now we've got a couple facts. We know that 65% of people are saved in a church. 79% of the people that are in a church were invited there by a friend or a member of that church. So who builds the church? Is that Pastor John, Pastor Don? No. Their job is to shepherd, to build up, to edify the people that come in here. Of course, they do their own outreach. Absolutely, but it's still one man. Who builds a church? The people that are sitting here, you guys. You have friends. Anthony, you're all over the world, right? And I know you, wherever you go, that you do mention our church, you've said, right? I'm sure that you do. Where half of them may not come here, but at least they've heard of us. But if that's the greatest way and the most effective way is to get people into a church, and the way to do that is to invite them to a church service, Sunday morning church service. Wow, I think we're onto something here. So without a doubt, the greatest potential lies right here with the people in this room and the people that are here Sunday morning. Our field is those that we come in contact with. We were talking about how many were won through schools, through work, through shopping. You don't need to grab them and pray for them right then. The best thing to do is anybody that you can, invite out to church. It's not that hard. How easy is it? I've heard people just go up to a lady cashier, I know they don't know them, and start talking about a great movie. Even a few weird ones talking about the great Lions football team or something, you know. It's so easy to talk about something like that, right? And why isn't it any easier to ask someone out to church instead of telling them what movie to go see? How about telling them what church to come to? There's some easy things that we can do. Just arm yourself, right? If you're going into a fight, I used to grab a brick, anything, you know, the old days. If you didn't have something, you ran over to the side of the alley and grabbed you a rock or something, right? Stick. Dead rat. I didn't care. Same way. You went to a fight prepared, right? You didn't have on your flip-flop and your pants hanging down to here and a ring in your nose, right? You come prepared for a fight. If you knew you were going to be in one. What do you think? Why'd you go through boot camp? Infantry training. Jump school. Because you had nothing better to do? What was that for? To get you ready for a fight, right? Bottom line, that we're in a war. We're in a fight. Be ready. And it's very simple. In just a couple little things you can do. In my glove box, I always keep a little leather pouch. And in this little leather pouch, I keep this in my glove box. I hate to have things in my pocket, you know. Some guys like the big wallets. I don't. I keep this in my glove box in my car, and when I go in somewhere, here a while back we went into the hospital, Pastor Don and I. Did I grab this, Pastor? I try and grab this when I go to a store or anything. When I turn my car off, I'll reach in and stick this in my pocket. It's so easy. Start if you get a conversation to invite you out to church. If you're ever, or you know somebody, please. We'd love to see you. That's it. Is that hard? But that's the most effective way. We've had people, I remember we had a guy come here once that had seen our church card on the side of a refrigerator in a crack house as he was getting ready to commit suicide. God can use anything. If he can use us, he can use anything, right? The simplest things are sometimes the most effective. That interpersonal relationship, just, hi, inviting you out, handing you a card. Most people, if you're nice enough to do it, they're not going to throw it on the ground, stomp it. Some will. I've had that happen many times. I've had it threatened to be given back to me some places I didn't want it. Doesn't it say that those that are persecuted in my name will be blessed? So you got a blessing coming, a dog bite and a blessing. There are people that won't accept it, but most people, honestly, will take the card. They might throw it off, take it home, throw it down. You never know where that card's going to go, right? Always keep a little oil in there. You know, there's a lot of sick people in this world, Brian. When we're running out there, we always... I like to grab that, too, and just stick it in my pocket. If somebody needs prayer, somebody's sick, pray for them. What a great opening. I've told the story about when I was at the airport once to pick up my daughter coming in from Jersey. I don't know why, I've never done this before. I went right to the Cinnabon counter. You didn't hear that, Sharon. Okay. Very aptly named, Cinnabons, because they're pure sin. And Lord, I love them.
You don't have to be prophetic to know that.
Yes, forgive me, Lord. I love them. And you could just tell the guy is, you know, I said, are you all right? He looked at me kind of funny, like, what do you care? I said, well, you got a headache? You were holding it? Yeah, I do. I just kind of stepped over to the side of the counter like this, put my hand on him, said, can I pray for you? This guy's got eyes, got this big. He's afraid to move. I was going to choke him. So yeah, I got him now. So I start praying for him, right? Not quite as loud as Dwayne gets sometimes, but it was a loud prayer, Dwayne. I wasn't hiding it in any way that I was praying for this guy. I turn around to go, and here stands a lady with a little girl crying. She said, sir, would you pray for my daughter? She's scared to get on the plane. I prayed for her. A simple thing like that. We sometimes make the simplest things hard when they're not. They should come natural. I cared about the guy's headache. I cared about the little girl, right? We can hope that if it was reversed, it would be the same way. How many people here hate somebody enough that they want to see them in hell forever? That's a very short list, isn't it? There's a lot of people I don't like, shamefully. I don't love everybody, but I don't want to see anybody in hell. No. Because whoever they are, mean and nasty as they were, they probably weren't as mean and nasty as I was. So there's hope for everybody. But it's some simple things is all we need to do. Now let's start building a foundation on how to do that. If we're going to invite people out to church, if you invite people over to your house, what do you do first thing? You make sure your house is cleaned up. Now me, I'll throw stuff under the bed. Sharon, she likes to clean. I'll just throw it under the bed, tidy it up. But at least I'm doing something to make things look right, correct? We have to make sure that our church, before we invite people here, that our church is in order. Who's the church? We are, as a whole again. We need to take a look at ourselves. Yes, ma'am.
I try not to let him clean. It takes me 2 weeks sometimes to find the stuff he's put away.
Sometimes we've never found it. There's still stuff out there, I don't know, floating around. To confirm our claim, there's two things that we must do to have a good church. God isn't going to send people to a church that isn't good. There's a lot of people go to churches that aren't good, but God did not send them there. God will send people to a church that edifies him, has the same love for people that he has. Is this a church like that? Let's take a look. Like I said, we have to create two things in a church that are most important. First, it's a loving church and an edifying church. What do I mean by edifying? Because somebody, who's our English major? Candace, what does the word edifying mean? You're not an English major? You are now. Yeah, what does edify? Say, go ahead, Sammy. Help her, Sammy. Give him the microphone. Hey, you can't just stand around here. You got to be fast, baby. Go ahead, Sammy.
Go ahead.
We don't want to know what it is in Arabic, okay?
Satadiki.
Huh?
Satadiki. And in Arabic, that means build up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll accept that in Arabic or English, all right? I will accept that. To edify is to build up something, right? And that's part of a church's job. And that's what we were talking about a minute ago, that home meetings do. What does that banner say that's on the left side of the church? Say that again. To bring all things under heaven and earth. That is an edifying church. Just hang back there. It also, we're to, what? Raise people up. There's so many churches that their only calling is to, and I got saved once at an early age, almost same time Pastor John did in the early 70s, but it was in a church. I truly feel that I was saved, but that was it. Once I got saved, they just told you, buddy, hang on to your butt. It ain't going to be easy. Well, what are you going to help me do? Nothing. Hang on. Lord will be back. It's hard, but you just hang on. That's exactly what the pastor told me. That scared me to death. Yes, Sharon. Needless to say, I didn't hang on. And most people didn't. That church is now gone. Go ahead.
It was actually the first time he got a vision. He was an atheist going to church, so I wouldn't break off our engagement. I was in the bathroom with my little girl, God gave him a vision, and the pastor was still preaching when I come out, and he was up there crying. His mother, who was Baptist, never went back to church with us.
I wasn't even a good atheist, but I'm trying to be a good Christian. In Romans 3, 7 through 8, someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner for doing that? And the answer is, why not say, as some slanderously claim, that we say, let us do evil, that good might result. There are churches that preach part of the gospel. I love you. Everything's going to be great. God loves you. Everything is just a bed of roses. All you got to do is put in the collection plate, and it'll be good. Pastor John has got up there plenty of times and talked about what? Trials and tribulations. You know what they are? A promise from God. To why? Like I said a minute ago, to edify us and build us up. A warrior doesn't know he's a warrior till he's been in a war. Right? You never know if you're going to turn or run till that time comes. Pastor Don has said that. Fight or flight? I think it was Pastor Don said that. You're going to do one or the other. You don't know unless you're tested. How do we test our Christianity? By just being happy and everything going good? No. Even though sometimes that can be a test. But no, it's when you really come into a battle. And we should all be in a battle. Why? Because we're out trying to bring people to Christ. Who do you think is out there that doesn't want us to do that? Satan. He doesn't want us to do that. He's real. He does not want us to do that. He's going to do everything he can to try and stop you. But that's good. I like to use him as a barometer. If things are going too good, something is wrong. You got to have some trial. How many in here have a perfect life? Good. That means you're doing something right. Right? But you know, a perfect life is counted at the end. That's when we'll know if we had a perfect life. It's not a perfect life here, but this is our boot camp. This is where we're trained. Right? And we have a church here that does that. We have a church here that edifies and builds people up. A church should do three things. Reach out with the gospel. Then assimilate those that come into the family, and then nurture, teach them, train, and lift them up after that. And that third one goes on forever, right? Till we're perfect. How many here other than Sammy are perfect? Then we have a little while to go, right? So we do have an edifying church here. I would love to bring people in with all the programs. We have the correct doctrine, I hope, I'm sure, because it goes along with the Word of God. What is everything tested against? The Word of God. Our doctrine is what? Taken from the Word of God. Has to be a well-organized church, a church that loves worship, loves the teaching. We have that. This is a place that you can bring people out to meet the Lord. And the second thing in the church was what? Love. Again, not Barney-type love, but actually, How many people have heard people come in here and say, the first thing I felt was the love? Was it the love for them? No, it was the love in the building. It's the love we have for each other that starts people off. You know, when somebody comes in, we don't go, oh, I just love you, you old sinner dog, you. They feel the love that we have for each other, for the Lord here, right? That's what we're talking about, that people feel when they come in. They will get loved eventually, but we're going to clean them up a little bit first. If we have those two things in place, which we do, why would God not send people here? There's no reason. He wants, we have open doors. He wants to bring people here. But again, whose job is that? Ours. He's done his job. He has put men in place, Pastor John and Pastor Don, to make sure that this is the body, the church, the place that that can happen. Now it's time for us to do our job. To go out, since 65% of the people get saved in church, 79% are here because they're invited. That is the main thing that we need to do, is invite. But we do have to make sure that this is a... We have to every little bit check and make sure that we are a loving church, that we love each other. We're known by our love, it says, doesn't it? Our love for who? Each other. This is a loving church. Some of the simple things you can get to know, get to do is... How many people here could, other than Pastor Don's the only one that I know of probably, that can know everybody's name, like Cheers. He has a great gift there for knowing everybody's name. I am terrible at that. I have to work on it. But people like that. You might have been here one or two times, and he'll know your name. People like that. Second time, they know my name. They care about me, right? That's all people are looking for. They're getting beat up out there. They're looking for somewhere that, some people that care for them. We should be a different people because of Jesus Christ in our life. Try to learn someone new at service each day until you know them all. That's the people that are here. I can say that I've talked. I don't think there's anybody here from the newest person to the oldest person that I haven't talked to and know at least a little something about, have prayed with them. Right? We should all be that way. Invite people out. Not those that haven't come in yet, but those that are in the church. Get to know things about people. I remember when I first come to the church, Pastor John was having me over all the time for chicken. So all he ate was chicken. But Lord, I love chicken, so thank you, Pastor. Why? Because he liked to watch me eat chicken? He wanted to learn something about me, right? I always tell that story that the very first time I come here, Pastor Ed told me, well, you need to get involved in a home meeting. I said, well, which one? You know, he explained what home meeting. Oh, that sounds great. You know, Pastor Don, a cop. Ooh, I'd like to go over there. I'd shoot somebody in a minute. He said, I got the perfect place for you. John Russell, he said. Pastor John was actually a deacon at the time. So this goes way back. And I went over there. It was a great meeting. I loved it. It was a lot. You could see that the man really cared. But I didn't have enough sense to know that at the time. I went back to Pastor Ed and I said, you said John Russell, right? Yeah, yeah. I said, well, gosh, he ain't nothing like me. Pastor Ed looked at me and said, I know. I was, oh, I get it now. Visit other people. New members, the sick. You know, I don't know what ever possessed me. I don't know what, you know, you don't get to choose what God uses you for, but somehow he loves to take me to hospitals and stuff like that. But I count that as a blessing, right? You want to be used, go in a hospital, go in a nursing home. There's more needs than you're ever going to meet. Well, I don't know what to do. Go there, they'll show you. That's why I carry the oil. I love to go hospital visit somebody and pray. I enjoyed when I was in there, people coming around and stuff. I mean, when I got home, my whole house was filled, and I'd like to thank you for that. Get well cards all over the house. And I appreciate that sort of thing. I got calls from Sarge and a lot of you sitting in here gave me calls. How you doing, Bob? Everything good? Anything I can do? Brian, Brian said, well, you know, I mean that, Bob. I'm just not saying, Brian, I know that. I know that. Brian meant that. Whatever I can do. Can I cut your grass? Can I cut? It's all right. If I need something, I'll call you. I appreciate it. But just knowing that somebody is out there like that, and I'm sure, Pastor John, you got the same thing while you were off, that this body cares for each other. And we have to have a place like that to be able to bring people into. Now, how do we bring people in? Four simple steps. Simple. I like simple. I'm a simple person. That's why I love Pastor Don's teachings, because he'll lay out, this is what you need to do. One, two, three. Same way with Pastor John. One, two, three. This is what you need to do. Because I have a mind that needs to be focused. Most of us do, don't we? And that's one of the first things that it's great to do, is to have a prayer list. Those that you're reaching out to, those that you think are ready to hear the word, co-workers, whatever, start a list. Most people do that in businesses and stuff like that. They have a to-do list. They have a planner, right? We should make a list of those that we're ministering to, those that we come in contact with, those that we feel that we can really have an impact, those that we know might be hurting. Those are the ones we should have a prayer list. Everything starts with prayer. Every one of us had somebody praying for us before we got here. Lord knows I had all kind of people praying for me. Even ones that didn't like me were praying for me to get saved, right? But we all had people praying for us. Like Kenny was up here a couple weeks ago. Never underestimate prayer. Nothing starts. No revival ever started without prayer first. Nothing starts without prayer. Start with those that you're closest to, that you feel that you have a relationship with, are the ones that you should focus on. Family, friends, relatives, even relatives, neighbors, co-workers, relatives, those that are other people's, members of other people's families that are in the church. Sometimes it's easier for a stranger to reach out to somebody than members of your own family. We have a lot of people that aren't members here, but they come quite often, our visitors, right, Pastor? We could probably make a whole list of people that come here regularly, off and on, but are not members, are not really rooted in. You'll see them once a month, might not see them for a while. You might see them come two, three times a month, gone again for a few months. Those are the people that we can put on that list. And it can go all the way down to just casual acquaintances, your mailman. I talk to my mailman all the time. He parks his van there. I'm always out working in the yard. I talk to him. Nothing big. You know, I don't run over and tell him, you're going to hell. I've had that happen to me. Don't laugh. People come up and say that to you. What? You're going to hell. Okay. Gee, I want to talk with this guy. I just feel the love. I want to be just like him. I got upset so often. You didn't have to tell me I was sinning and going to hell. We all knew that beforehand, didn't we? It ain't like there's a bunch of choices, heaven or hell. So start a list and give a priority to those people that are unchurched or not going to a church. There's a lot of people out there that are going to pitiful churches. There are some sad and pitiful churches out there, and I even hate to use the word church in some cases. But it's easier to reach the people that aren't going to a church and some of those that have caught up in that doctrine that's wrong. So we want to be most effective, and that's first people that aren't attending a church. But we don't neglect those that are, we are going to a bad church. We don't go up to them and say, everybody in that church is going to hell. No, give them an alternative. Why should they come here instead of there? When conversations come up, well, what does your church teach on that? Do you have this kind of program? You know, simple things like that. Well, in our church, we... Fast story. I lost a dentist that way. We had this dentist, you know, he was a Christian. He was a nice guy. He was a Baptist, though. And not, I hate to say though, but he had a young man working for him that was a receptionist. And I used to go in there all the time and talk with a kid. You know, I liked him, just talking about him. And I'd be not even thinking. I'm telling him all these stories and stuff, people going out, people getting saved, all this going on and everything. And one day he just threw up his hands and started crying. How do I hear that? No, what? Oh, we don't do nothing like that. They take me out in a bus and drop me in Taylor and tell me to go to these three blocks, and they sick dogs on me, and you know. What? I said, well, why don't you let the Holy Spirit lead you? What? The Holy Spirit's dead. What? So I got shown him verses, right? Lo and behold, get him kind of second saved, pray for him, right? We get a letter from the dentist just before my next visit, kindly asking me not to come back anymore. Because the dentist was also the pastor of the church that the guy that there told me not to come back anymore. Actually sent me the last time I was there and prayed for the guy. I had some work done, or my daughter did, $500. Sent my money back. Told me to take my money and get out of Dodge. Don't ever come back there. And threw that young man out of his church. Best thing that ever happened to that kid. And when you make this list, keep it short. It does not have to be a long list because we don't have a big memory. 5 to 8 people is all that should be on this list. But pray for them daily. Have this list somewhere that you can take a look at it so it's always on your mind. We easily forget, right? And pray for those people daily. Remember, it's God that gives the increases when it comes to evangelism, not us. That's why we should pray constantly. In 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. That's our job, just to plant that little seed, hand that little card out, pray for them. Simple things. But those are the things that touch people. God will take it from there. The Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is not dead. Let me put a disclaimer there. That young man was wrong. The Holy Spirit is not dead. God is not dead. Remember that we're just servants. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Lord, we're nothing special. The guy that cleans the bathroom, the person that cleans the bathroom is just as important as this church as a senior pastor. It's just a different job. I wouldn't want to come to a church if the bathroom wasn't cleaned. Especially with some bowel problems. No, I don't. Right, Brian? Brian checks out the bathrooms anywhere he goes. Now, first thing, let's check the bathroom, honey. I don't know if I want to go in there. What we need to do is we need to work as though it all depends on us. Work is everything. As a person's salvation depends on you. But pray knowing that it all depends on God. What should we pray for? Pray that God gives you opportunities. Remember the story of the jailer when Paul was in jail, right? Talking about opportunities, open doors. Remember? The big earthquake. The doors fly open, right? He's scared to death. What does Paul do? Run? Oh, heck, doors are open. I'm out of here. If I was in jail and the doors opened, I think I would be getting out of there. What Paul said? Don't worry. I'm still here. That was an open door for what? For him to escape? That was an open door for him to minister to that man. All the way on his trip to Rome, which Paul knew was his final destination to preach the gospel in Rome, every time he went in front of a magistrate, a king, King Agrippa, what did he do? Plead for his life, right? Oh, please don't kill me. He preached to him, told him about Jesus Christ. Did some of them accept it? There were some. But what about all the people around it heard that too? That should be our main focus. Spreading the gospel. Just telling the truth. Being a witness. Telling them what God has did for us. And pray for wisdom too. We need wisdom when we want to reach out to someone. What is the best way to do it? In Acts 6:10, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. God will give you the words to say to people. The Holy Spirit is there and moving. You just have to be willing and listen. I've said some of the craziest things to people that make absolutely no sense, but I thought it was the Holy Spirit, and in every case, it's worked because it is the Holy Spirit. That's how you can tell it's the Holy Spirit. It works, right? So be listening for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your friend. He's right there working with you. All you have to do is listen. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. Pray for a boldness. We need to bold. Wherever you go, I've said this and I'll say it again. I learned this from Pastor Don. When you go someplace, take it over. Because if you don't, somebody else will. Enemy has always got somebody there that'll take over to run things. Oh, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't do that. I should just sit over here and smile and show my Christianity. You show your Christianity by taking that place over, by bringing righteousness, by bringing Christ's name. People are looking for leadership, right? You be the leaders. Who should be the leaders if we aren't? We're supposed to be leaders because why? God chose us. Why he chose us? I haven't the faintest idea. But he chose us to be the leaders. Boldly, fearlessly go out. Take the place over. But I hope you've got something out of it today. Remember, 65% of people are saved in a church. 79% of the people that are in a church are there because a friend, a relative, or somebody they knew invited them. And that's what we're looking at, how we can do that, how we can invite people out to church, right? Anybody can do this. And we're going to get into some more solid things. I hope that the list, carrying around some simple cards, praying for people, this is just a start. And none of this is really hard. It really isn't. Because I don't like hard things. I'm basically a lazy person. What, was that an amen? Sharon, microphone. Hold on. Microphone.
I've been dying to say this.
Please.
I tell people that they really, you know, I could tell you really enjoy music, and everybody typically does. And I said, well, you would love the music at my church. And the first question they ask is, where's your church? What's the name of your church? And it just opens up the door, and it all has to do with music.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the kids love it. My daughter loves it, especially if there's a connection there.
Yes.
And then after that, my daughter just takes over. But it's a great icebreaker.
It absolutely is, and we're going to touch on that next week. You've been sitting next to Pastor Don. You're jumping way ahead. No, he's absolutely right, and that's part of what we're going to talk about, some of the things that's going to be touched on next week. You're absolutely right. All right. I hope you got something out of this, and we're going to finish it off next week. Amen. Sharon, who would you like to close, please? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Give him the microphone, please.
Saturday, we're going out again, canvassing the city.
Acts 1:8.
We're meeting here at 12 o'clock. We go out at 1. We're going to pray for a little bit, go over strategy. So if you would like to go out, don't need any experience, though a lot of you I know have been out before. We're just going a very leisurely pace as we blanket the city. So come on out. We're going to be actually out on the street from 1 to 3 o'clock. Should be a nice day out there. And we had a lot of fun and Amen. Met a lot of people.
Amen. And we got some great reports on that. Sandy gave a great report. You know, she's not the bravest soul in the world. She's an excellent teacher. She's got God in her heart. But she admitted she was a little scared to get out there. But once she got out there, she was on fire, right? You got to put yourself out there sometimes to be used. You know, I don't know why God used me. I was sitting at home waiting for him all day. Put yourself out there, right? I love going places. I volunteer to go to the store sometimes because I can cause trouble. I can at home. My wife keeps me pretty well in check. But you let me out alone, I'll cause some trouble, right? Amen? Amen. I'll pick somebody to close us, please. Hope to see everybody back next week. Invite somebody else out. Even a heathen. I don't mind. Unsaved. Atheists, witches, we're open for everything. Bring them in. Sharon, who do you want? Oh, you're going back there. Okay. Joe, good choice. Joe.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this meeting that we were able to have today. And I pray that everyone here would have learned something and be able to take it and use it in our lives, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.